thank you for joining the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers Northwestern Division for today's conference call covering the test flows from Fort Peck Dam. This call is open to the public to provide information on the status of the test flows from Fort Peck Dam to ensure compliance with the 2018 biological opinion. I am Eileen Williamson, and I will be your moderator. This call is recorded and placed on the Defense Video and Imagery Distribution Service for media reuse at www.dvidshub.nec/unit/USACE-NWD. Your participation acknowledges your consent to be recorded. All lines have been placed on mute. To unmute your line to ask a question, press star 6. The force mute function does not work on all phones, so if I ask, please use your phone's own mute function and do not place the call on hold. The question and answer session will take place at the end of the call. Today we have with us John Remus, Chief of the Missouri River Basin Water Management Division, Joe Bonneau, Manager of the Missouri River Recovery Program, and Pat Broughton from the U.S. Geological Survey. With that, I will hand the call over to John Remus.
Good afternoon, everyone. I am actually not in the office, so I'm just listening in. So, Mike Swenson, if you're on, please give a rundown of the water management. Thank you.
Okay. Yes. Thanks, Eileen and John. Really, nothing significant to report. Fort Peck releases are still around 10,000 CFS. And then we have about 2,000 CFS coming out of the Milk River, which has given us about 12,000 CFS at Wolf Point. Our plan is to hold the Fort Peck release at 10,000 until about mid-June when we start up for the second set of higher flows. That's about all I had, Eileen.
All right. Thanks, Mike. And I will turn it to Joe.
Yep. Good afternoon, everybody. Not much for new updates. We did have yesterday the Missouri River Conservation District had their quarterly meeting, and I attended that, and we talked about test flows at that meeting quite a bit. We went out and toured some pump sites on the river, talked about test flows at those pump sites too, and so it was really nice day, lots of good conversation. I think maybe that's why there's a little lighter participation today, because we talked about test flows quite a bit yesterday with a lot of the folks that are often on these calls. And we have one other thing. I mentioned we have our little more lengthy call that we have every couple months and that many folks are on. That's next week, May 28th. But again, there's not a lot of new updates right now, other than the fish updates.
All right, thank you, Joe. And over to Pat Broughton with the U.S. Geological Survey.
Thanks. All right, so we've been doing these calls for a couple of weeks, and as the study has progressed, you've seen incremental changes in the discharge, and now we've been doing this long enough, so you get a better perspective of the entire. At least the first part of the flow test. And I'll just give you a little rundown and then the fish response that we've seen so far. So on the y-axis there, you have discharge, just average daily discharge. Then you have two graphs or two lines. One's the black one, and that's the discharge at Wolf Point, which is the target for the flow tests. Then the gray line is the discharge at Culbertson. So initially, flow started out fairly stable. Then beginning April 26th, the flows were increased, and you can see kind of the mirror image of the flows at Wolf Point and Culbertson. It's just a change in flows, and it takes a little bit longer to get down to Culbertson, so it's delayed a little bit. So that first peak is very evident. These were the attraction flows to try and trigger fish, pallid sturgeon, up into the Missouri River response reach. And then the flows have decreased. And now we're at this point of retention flows, whatever's in the system, looking to maintain the fish that are in the Missouri River reach for another month or so before triggering the spawning. And the pink line and the second y-axis on your right there just presents a summary of the fish that have entered that Missouri River response reach. As you've seen in the past weeks, and I mentioned, there were three fish that came in prior to the spillway or prior to the increased flows. Six fish entered with the flow increase. And there have been three fish that have entered during the declining flows, including one recent fish that was that code 33 or 333 just recently. And there's also been some fish that have moved out of the system, as I've mentioned in the past, 222, 243, code 273, code 377, 387 have moved out. And just this morning, there was one more fish that moved out. Yeah, 321 that we saw on the station actually picked it up in the lower Yellowstone. So as this moves through time, you're going to see another period of the retention flows, and getting into later June, an increased flow with the flow that's supposed to trigger spawning. Okay, the next slide. So the map on the top gives you the a similar map to what I showed last week. The pallid sturgeon locations, summarized through May 15th. And these fish were distributed from Fraser Rapids or that Peterson Point area, that furthest blue point upstream, all the way down to the Fort Buford logging station near the confluence of the Yellowstone River. And there were five females, reproductive females in the system. The map on the bottom portion of the screen has an update through May 20th. those five reproductive females do remain in the response reach. Code 337, 342, 422, the hatchery origin females, and then there are two wild females, the code 262 and the code 272. Most of those males remain, or most of the males remain. Some of them have exited, as I mentioned in the previous slide. One thing that you can really discern by comparing these two maps, that there is upstream progression. There was one fish most recently relocated just downstream from the mouth of the Milk, that furthest upstream blue point, that male. But also really evident that upstream progression in the females. Last week, that female, code 272, was right down on the lower Missouri River by the Yellowstone River confluence. That fish was detected at Culbertson, actually manually relocated as well. The other two females, code 422, code 262, have moved upstream as well, along with code 337, that female, and code 342. And there are a couple of remaining fish that we don't know the sex, the reproductive status on, and crews are really going after those to target them and figure them out. And that's it.
All right. Thank you, Pat. And we will move to the question and answer session. Right now, I've got 42 callers on the line. If you have a question, feel free to use the WebEx app to raise your hand, or when your state is called, come off mute. Because this test is centered on areas immediately downstream of Fort Peck Dam, we'll start with individuals calling from Montana, then North Dakota, and we will then field calls in alphabetical order by state. Please be sure to state your name and if you represent an organization before asking a question or making your statement. Remember to press *6 to unmute your phone and the application if an additional unmute is necessary. Starting with the state of Montana. Okay, I'm not seeing anyone in Montana, North Dakota. Iowa, Kansas, Missouri, Nebraska, South Dakota, Wyoming. Okay, any callers I may have missed? I don't see anyone off mute to ask a question. Mike, you want to provide any closing comments?
Except for just thanks for everyone for joining. I don't have anything else, Eileen.
All right. Thank you, Mike. And we will hold another call next week, same time, same day of the week. Updated slides from our friends with the Geological Survey and updated information from water management and recovery programs. So with that, it concludes this call. We'll talk to you next week.